Among the things I really don't like is combining eating with working. I absolutely hate business lunches. I dislike intensely business dinners. And I truly hate the totally inhumane breakfast meetings. It would be my experience that, in general, tension and digestion simply do not mix. For human beings, eating has as much to do with shared culture as nutrition. Whom we eat with and how we eat rather defines our human relationships, even our identities. Families, friends, invited guests are said to break bread together. In Bedouin culture, enormous care must be exercised before deciding to invite somebody to dinner, because having once eaten together, the host assumes responsibility for the protection of the guest. In all cultures, shared food involves, in some significant ways, an extension of family or tribe with the invited guest. Eating together always expresses a sense of community, of social bonding, of cultural identification. If you study the scriptures carefully, you might be surprised just how often in the Gospels Jesus is depicted at a meal or involved in something having to do with eating. A scripture scholar once quipped that during the 3 years of our Lord's public life, on the many occasions when Jesus was teaching, he was often also eating. When the Lord was giving us the very words of life, most times he must have had food in his mouth. His enemies, among the scribes and Pharisees, criticized Jesus for being a glutton and a wine imbiber. The Lord apparently did like going out to dinner. His very first miracle was worked at a wedding banquet in Cana of Galilee. Jesus frequently accepted dinner invitations, and from quite diverse groups of people. He dined with the Pharisees, but he also ate and drank with publicans and others who were regarded as public sinners. Sometimes Jesus invited himself over for dinner, as in the case of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He also certainly enjoyed eating at the homes of close friends, such as at Peter's house in Capernaum, or at the home of Martha and Mary in Bethany. Jesus also fed the multitudes. The multiplication of loaves and fishes is recounted in all four Gospels. There are two accounts each in Matthew and Mark, and one each in Luke and John. This miraculous sign was enormously important for those who followed Jesus, because it demonstrated the Lord's power to richly nourish and abundantly sustain all those who put their trust in his word. And the night before he suffered and died, Jesus shared a communal supper with his apostles and instituted the Eucharistic meal as Christianity's central act of worship. Finally, in the Easter Gospels, we hear throughout the great 50 days of this holy season, we encounter the risen Christ once again eating in the company of his disciples. In the Gospel of Luke, there are actually references to meals or food in every single chapter. in today's appointed gospel from Luke, which follows just after the story of the disciples at Emmaus, who were only able to recognize the risen Christ after he had broken bread with them. We now hear about the 11 and their companions, still locked behind closed doors, still scared and confused, arguing over the empty tomb and reports of angels and visions. Suddenly, Jesus appears in their midst, and they're actually more terrified than ever. Was this a ghost? Was this an illusion or some form of shared hysteria? But Jesus speaks a word of peace to them. Shalom, he says. But to further reassure them and to show them that he had truly risen, Jesus asks if they have anything to eat. The gospel records they had a piece of boiled fish, which he took and ate in their presence. Only then, after once again being with him at a meal, were they able to fully and finally believe. And then, as Luke teaches us, Jesus was able to open their minds to understand the scriptures, that the Messiah had to suffer and then rise from the dead on the third day, so that repentance and the forgiveness of sins might be proclaimed, beginning at Jerusalem and then throughout the whole world. Table fellowship had converted sinners during the Lord's public ministry. And now, after the resurrection, table fellowship would be the principal sign, the very sacrament of the Lord's life-giving death and glorious resurrection. That, in fact, is what we celebrate together every Lord's Day. At each Sunday Mass, we celebrate a little Easter. At Sunday Mass, through the power of the Holy Spirit, once again our minds are opened as the Scriptures are explained to us, so that our hearts can be convicted and our lives can be changed. We gather around the table of the Lord, and through the power of the same Spirit, Jesus, our High Priest, worthily praises and thanks God our Father. Through the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, we are in holy communion with the risen Christ and with one another. This is certainly no business meal. This is infinitely more important than simply taking in the four food groups. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is a love feast among brothers and sisters whose lives have been redeemed by the life, death, and rising of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. So, as in the earliest days of the Church of Jerusalem, and now in this, the 21st century, in our Diocese of Peoria, Christ is risen. Christ is truly risen. May we always recognize his presence, the presence of our risen Savior, in the breaking of the bread.